The series that we are looking at is Christ-centered Christmas. We started on December 5th. First week we looked at John 1:1-18, the prologue of God's Gospel of John. And we looked at Jesus as the creator, sustainer, and the source of our life. And he came down to this world to create a relationship between us and God, and also give us grace after grace. Last week we looked at Matthew chapter 1 verse 18-25, where we looked at Joseph, who participated with God in the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And we also saw how we, as the followers of Christ, can participate with God in making Christ be born in the lives of our families, friends, and community. And this week, we are going to look at a passage in Luke, and we will study Jesus, the Son of God, and Messiah, and how Mary was a bearer, or how Mary cooperated with God in bringing Jesus to this world, and we also will learn some principles. I will read the passage, and we will also do some kind of observation, and finally, we will just look at one principle that should take us through for this week until we come for the next week. Luke chapter 1, verse 26-38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee. You know, when you see sixth month, is it sixth month after the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah? Here, the angel Gabriel comes to Nazareth to visit with Mary in a place called Galilee. I had the opportunity to visit Galilee last year. It's a small town. Now, predominantly, it is Islamic, about 60%, and 30% are Christians, and 10% are Jews. It is north of Galilee. In those days, when Mary and Joseph lived in Galilee, probably Galilee was a very, very tiny village where people did not have proper education, and also they didn't have proper road system. Even now, it is an obscure village. It is very close to Sea of Galilee. Angel of the Lord appeared to Mary here. It says, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. In those days, there were a lot of religious people, even as there are a lot of religious people today. There were a lot of religious people in those days. There were very highly educated people, and people with a lot of influence, people who knew scripture really, really well, and a lot of people who had a religious connection. But the angel of the Lord comes to Mary. Probably she was very young. If she was betrothed and not married, probably she was either 12 years old or she was going to become a teenager. Very young girl. If you look at the sociology of the first century Palestine, women did not have a proper education. They did not go to school. Probably they must have had very little education. But angel of the Lord comes to Mary in Galilee. You know, it is a kind of shock when you look at Matthew. You see, when the star appeared to the wise men, they thought the Son of God was born in the palace. By mistake, from the east they came to the palace. Finally, they did not see the Son of God. Here the same thing. God did not, the angel of the Lord did not appear in Jerusalem to a highly educated, very religious, influential person, but came to Galilee, an insignificant, small village, to a girl who was betrothed to be married to a man. Probably she herself was a poor lady, and she did not have proper education. And Galilee was also not a very prominent place. This is what I see from this passage. God chooses unlikely people in unlikely places to fulfill his purposes. God chooses unlikely people in unlikely places to fulfill his purposes. I see that happening throughout history. Even in biblical history, you see, Moses was in the wilderness. God appeared to him in a burning bush and he said, I need you. You have to go to Egypt and deliver people. Gideon was up in the north, close to Galilee, away from civilization, away from so many things, or away from hustles and bustles of the society. God called Gideon. And he said, are you sure you're calling me? And you see that same kind of pattern appearing everywhere in Judges. Some people suddenly get a call to deliver God's people. God, who was looking for people in unlikely places, even today he's looking to all of us. We may be thinking, I'm not the one. I don't have the ability. Or what will I go and tell, like Moses? We may say, what do I have to give to God? God chooses unlikely people in unlikely places. We will go a little further down here in verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have been found favor with God. This is what God, angel of the Lord is saying. Mary, don't worry. You are shocked. Don't worry. You are favored with God. It was shocking to her. God is able to accomplish great things in and through you when you let him in your life. Whether you are very young, 12-year-old or 13-years-old, whether you are older, whether you are educated, non-educated, rich or poor, whether you are in the east or the west, north or south, or whether you are part of one particular culture or not part of the other culture, whether you are a minority or a majority, doesn't matter. God is able to accomplish great things in and through you when you let him in your life. That is what we see here. Mary was shocked when she was in Galilee. He said, you are highly favored of God. And this is what the angel of the Lord tells in 31. You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Verse 32 is powerful. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of the father David. And the plan the angel of the Lord discloses to Mary is that she will become pregnant even before she comes, gets married to Joseph. And the baby who is going to be born in Mary's womb will have two titles, important titles. One, he will be called the Son of God. When you look at the Son of the title Son of God, it's a very powerful one. There were several important figures who were called Son of God. When we write in English, we use small s. Whenever we write, about Jesus, we use big S. Although, that is possible in English. In Hebrew and Greek, that is not possible. But when you look at the significance of angels' messages, the baby that was going to be conceived in Mary's womb will be called Son of God. Where do we get the significance in the Old Testament about Son of God? Just before David passed away, Nathan came and prophesied to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13. Said, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. That is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 11 to 13. When your days are over and you will rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body and will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish a throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father and he will be my son. Here, part of the prophecy was fulfilled in Solomon. But after Solomon, we don't see the continuation of Davidic throne in the Old Testament. What happened was, when people went to Babylon as slaves, and when they came back, their throne was not established, and they looked at this promise, and they were looking for a person who would come from heaven with a supernatural relationship with God, and he would establish a throne that will stay forever. That is called the Son of God. That we see the reflection of that one in Psalm 89. This is how it reads. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the things of the earth. I will establish his line forever and his thrones as the days of heavens. Angel of the Lord, Gabriel, is telling Mary, Mary, the child that is going to be born in your womb is going to be the Son of God, who is going to establish a kingdom of David. That kingdom will last forever. It is not the kingdom that you and Solomon and Solomon's children had, but it is a different type of kingdom. That kingdom will last forever. That throne will be established forever. And he says, that person, the one who is conceived, will rule from David's throne. In other words, he will be the Messiah. You know, when we look at when we use Jesus' name, we always say Jesus Christ. Christ is not a proper name. Christ is a title. In those days, people would say Jesus the Messiah. And if people were using Greek, then they would say Jesus the Christos or the Christ. But slowly we change Christ to a proper name. We now say Jesus Christ. But in most of the places in the Gospel and the writings, the title Christ is used as a title. How? People said Jesus is the Christ. Where do we get, or Messiah, where do we get the meaning of Messiah? We go back to Old Testament and see several people were anointed to accomplish certain purposes. When David was taking care of the sheep in the field, Prophet Samuel came and anointed, in Hebrew word it is Messiah, and the same word is retained in Malayalam, they say Messiah. Messiah is anointed one. What they would do is, Prophet would come and just anoint the head, saying that you are set apart for a particular purpose. There were priests who were anointed, there were prophets who were anointed, there were kings who were anointed, but at a particular point of time, people started looking for an anointed one who would come from God, who would establish a throne, who would deliver people of Israel from the hands of their enemies. And the geography or the land of Israel would be established under the leadership of this Messiah. We see in several places, Psalm 2, Daniel 9:27, and we see in several places teaching about Messiah. And people were all thinking, when they were in Babylon, they thought, oh, we are going to have a Messiah who would come and, you know, bring us back to Jerusalem. That did not happen. After they came back from Babylon to Jerusalem, they established, but within few years or within 100 years, a Greek started dominating them. And they thought a Messiah was going to come and overthrow the Greeks and establish an independent nation, Israel. That did not take place. After that, Romans came in 64 and they declared Jerusalem as their land. And they were looking for a Messiah who would come as a political leader, as a military leader, who would defeat the enemies. Here comes Jesus, who was conceived in the womb of Mary, a very insignificant person in an insignificant place. And that is what the message of the angel of the Lord to Mary is. The baby that is going to be conceived in your womb will be the Son of God, and he will be the Messiah. Mary immediately accepted, because she must have heard from her parents, or from uncles and aunts, or she herself would have read, if she had a little bit of religious education, that the whole nation of Israel was looking for a Messiah and looking for the Son of God, who would become great, who would reestablish the throne of David, who would rule from Jerusalem forever, and he would reestablish the line of David. And she said, this, we will read a little bit down here. Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One, will be called Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Then amazing response we see here in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. The angel left her. And she said, here I am. There is a proposal. Angel of the Lord comes and tells, this is what's going to take place. And she understood the truth of the proposal, and she accepts. God's work does not depend on your ability, but it depends on your availability. I look at Mary, 12-year-old girl, probably did not have a lot of social clout, and she did not have a lot of talents. All God wanted was a small place in her body, her womb. Sometimes you may think, oh, I'm not educated, I don't have a lot of finance, I am not from a big country or a very significant city. It doesn't matter. People look for these things. Human beings look for these things. But for God, nothing is impossible. What God is looking for in us is not our ability, not our talents, not our education, not our money, but our availability. When Mary was convinced that this is what's going to happen, and by being available to what God was going to do in her, you know, she cooperated. When she did that, God did an amazing thing in this world. An angel of the Lord says, nothing is impossible with God. And I think it stands even today. That statement is not conditioned by time. It was not given 2,000 years back. Even today, some of you may be praying for certain things. Some of you may be aspiring for certain things. Some of you may be thinking, you know, I want to do this one, but I don't have the ability. But if God is in it, it is possible. When you become available to God for His purpose, to do His work, everything is possible for God. He can shake the mountain and make it move and fall into the middle of the ocean. He can make a way in the wilderness and reverse in the desert for us. And He can feed us 38 years in the wilderness. He can raise kings from ashes. He can give, God alone is called a creator ex nihilo. That means He alone can create the things out of nothing. We as human beings, if we want to make bread, we have to have dough. If we want to have yogurt, we have to have milk. We cannot create anything out of nothing, but God can create things out of nothing. If we say, I don't have this one, I'm praying all these days, I don't have a job, or I don't have friends, I don't have money, I don't have influence, all these things are human standard, but in God's standard, He is looking for only one thing. Are you available? Mary was available. Amazing miracles happened. And I'm just praying, in this Christmas days, God will raise hundreds and hundreds of Marys who will say, here I am. And Mary did not use the word I am. She said, I am your slave, a doulos, a slave. That means, Lord, when you have disclosed your whole plan about this baby, I am your slave. That means I don't have any right over myself. I'm just giving to you. You do whatever pleases in me. And she becomes available. In those days, there were a lot of misconceptions. Son of God and Messiah would be a political leader. Or a military leader, you know, he will know the strategy and he will just go and fight, and also he would expand the territory. But Jesus' whole idea was completely different. These are all misconceptions, but Jesus, the Messiah, does not bring a superficial alternative to the political ruina, but he brings an inward change. See, Mary was instrumental in bringing Jesus, you know, conceiving Jesus in her womb by his birth. You know, she participated with God, and the Messiah, Son of God, was born. He was not, you know, even today, he is not just establishing a superficial geographic kingdoms, but he is working in the hearts of people. A lot of time we say, why do we need to have Jesus in our life? Sometimes we say, why do we have Messiah in our life? A lot of time we say Jesus Christ, but Christ never becomes our Christ, Christ in our life. The minute we use the word Christ, that means we are subjecting ourselves to the authority of the person we call Christ. You know, when India was ruled by British, the officers were called the Lords. In South India, they say Dora. In Kerala, they used to call Saip. And that is the word in North India as well. That means, you are superior. I am putting myself under your subjection or under your authority. The word Christ has that connotation. When you say Jesus is Christ, that means he becomes Christ of my life, the Messiah of my life, or the Saip or Dore of my life. There may be one or two or three here who may be calling Jesus Christ for a long time, or you have happened to call Jesus Christ some of these days, but you don't really have meaning in your life. The Christmas time, Jesus has to become part of our life. He should be invited as the Lord of our life. He comes into our life and he changes our life, and he becomes the Lord of our life. So many things happen. He establishes our relationship with God, and he lets us enjoy grace after grace in our life. So, having read this passage and also understood a little bit about Mary and what project she got involved with God, what is the principle we learn? You know, how do we understand this passage which was written 2,000 years back? How is it applicable to me? Be available for God to fulfill his purposes through your life. Now, you may be working, or you may be a student in a college, or you may be a housewife, or you are a student somewhere in a seminary. Wherever you are, we have to see whether we are available to God for God to fulfill his purpose in our life. It's a question everyone has to ask. Mary became available and Jesus was born. That was a simple decision, simple availability. She did not really look for the ability or her talent or any of the human things that we look for. She said, here I am. We have to see in what way we can become available to God so that he can fulfill his purpose in and through us. I'd like to give only one suggestion how we can become available. We have to know him and his word. Before Mary said yes to the angel of the Lord, the angel talked about who this person was. In fact, angel of the Lord was actually taking Mary to the Old Testament, and the angel explained to Mary, this is the baby who people have been waiting for a long time. People have been waiting for this Messiah and Son of God from David's time. Here he is, but you have to pay the price. He's going to be born in your womb. And she said, yes. Yes, Lord, I'm your slave. Because she knew the tradition, she knew the truth, and she knew the expectation. In other words, she knew God and his word. These days, we see a lot of people who go to church, who celebrate Christmas, who celebrate Easter, but sadly, they don't really know him the way they should know him. The test of someone's knowledge is obedience. If there is an area in our life that we have not obeyed or we're still holding on to, that means we don't really know. If we know, we will know through our obedience. If we don't obey, so long as we don't obey, that means we don't know. May God bless us make us understand the story of Mary and how she became available for God to work in her and through her. In these days, God will give us the grace to become available to Him so that He will fulfill His purpose in our lives.